Anticipate the coming of the Son of Man in the clouds of glory. We're not going to preach about the rapture today, but it probably will be mentioned. The title of my sermon is 10 Signs That the Tribulation Is Near. 10 Signs That the Tribulation Is Near, Part 1. I don't have time to get into all 10 of them today, but I'll get into about the first 5 and see. Just give you a little bit of something to think about as we approach the coming of Jesus. And it's nigh, it's near, even at the door, the coming of the Lord. So we'll go to Matthew, the 24th chapter, and we'll read verses 1 through 14. And then we'll turn over to 2 Timothy 3 and 1. And let's read there together. Matthew 24, verses 1 through 14. And this is a discourse that Jesus, this is Olivet discourse and prophecy, primarily to reply to the disciples' question, what shall be a sign of your coming and the end of the world? Or what do we look for? Jesus gave them general signs of the course of the world leading up to the last days in our text today. He then gave them special signs to indicate the final days of the age, the great tribulation in chapter 24, verses 15 through 28. And then he gave them spectacular signs that would occur at his triumphant coming with power and great glory in verses 29 through 31. He goes on to give them admonition to tribulation saints to be alert to the signs leading to up to his expected coming after the tribulation. He gives another admonition to believers living before the tribulation to be spiritually ready for the expected yet unknown time of Christ's coming for the faithful. Now you may not agree with me. That's us. We expect it, but we don't know when. Okay? We just don't know when. And as we look at God's Word today, let's not forget that many details of Christ's coming are not disclosed in Matthew 24. Also note that no one has ever been able to decipher all the prophecies coming concerning the end time with complete certainty. There's been, over the years, things have changed. Ideas have changed. Situations have changed. I used to hear Brother Sherlock Bally preach about the end time. This guy knows the word and knows end time prophecy, and he's had to change some of his predictions based upon nations changing. Things happening in the world that's different than when he first studied it. So he's had to change some things. And still bases it on Scripture, but yet ideas have changed and knowledge has changed in the Word of God about what's happening in the end time. It's difficult to know. This discourse here discloses the signs for the tribulation saints to be aware of. You say, well, this is all about us. No, this is about tribulation. He said, what? They said, what are the signs concerning your coming and the end of the world? You're coming in the end of the world. So, but we can use these scriptures today to help us be aware that Christ's coming is near. So that's what we're going to talk about today. His coming is near. With this in mind, we should walk with humility of heart and with a heart fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Our hearts should, what we should be in humbly expecting Christ to come, but have our hearts and minds fixed on him. 10 signs tribulation is near. Let's read Matthew 24, verse 1 through 14. And Jesus went out. I'm reading King James today. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be one left here, one stone upon another, that shall not be thrown down. Now, that actually happened. That's already been done. Okay, that happened about 70 years after that. The Roman armies, they came in, I forget what the ruler was, but they come in and they tore down the temple. They destroyed Jerusalem. That was, Jesus was prophesying that. It came to pass. And he said, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. And the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached into all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come. Let's pray. Father, today, in the name of Jesus, we just come to your throne. We thank you, Lord, for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We ask, Lord, that you would open the eyes of our heart. Help us, Lord, to be attentive to your word. Help us, Lord, to receive what you would say to us. In Jesus' name, amen. So we see that there's here in this very short passage of scripture I read, this 14 verses, there's 10 signs that the tribulation is approaching, that is coming, it's very near. First one is deception. Now, as we start this, understand, he was speaking to them towards about the end of the world. He wasn't speaking about the rapture of the church. Okay? That's not what this discourse was about. In it, you can glean things from it for us as a church, and understand that the rapture or the resurrection of the saints is near. I'm of the opinion that the church will be raptured out of here prior to the tribulation. In this life, you will have tribulation. In this life, you'll have persecution. In this life, you're going to have difficulties. In this life, you may suffer for Christ, but right now, we're not in the tribulation period. We're in a time of upheaval, a time that we can see this pointing to the tribulation, a time that the world is getting more and more wicked, but we're not there yet. And you better hope and pray that I'm right. You don't want to go through the tribulation. You're not supposed to go through the tribulation. And if you do, you better be paying attention to what I'm saying today, because you will see these things get worse than you'll ever imagined. It's going to happen. So the first is a major sign that has special importance. Towards the end of the age, this religious deception will be rampant on the earth. How many know it's already rampant on the earth? Religious deception is here, and that's a sign that tribulation is approaching, a sign that during tribulation it gets even worse. And there will be an antichrist rise up. There will be a false prophet rise up, and they will deceive many to the point that even the very elect won't be safe if they're not grounded in the Word of God. I'm speaking to the Jews and to those who have been raised in church, who may be left behind. I don't know where we figure into that as a American church, as a United States of America. I don't know where we figure in. I'm not going to try to figure that out today. But we better be ready. And if you are left behind, you better get into the Word so that you'll know what to expect if you're left. Okay? You better not be left. But I can guarantee you somebody in this crowd here today will be left. Just 46, 47 of us here today, and somebody in this 47 people, 46 people, will be left behind. Maybe more than one. I don't want you to be one of them, but it's quite possible and very probable that somebody listening to me today will be left behind. That's sad. But religious deception will be rampant on the earth. Christ was so very concerned that his followers be aware of the coming worldwide deception that he told them about it. He said, take heed that no man deceive you. Take heed, pay attention, that no one can deceive you. It's going to happen. They're going to come. They're going to come in my name. They're going to speak swelling words. They're going to have good word. They're going to have deceptive word. They're going to convince you. They'll be very convincing. And they're already there. Already men that can out debate me by a long shot, who knows word better than I know word, that can deceive you if you're not grounded in the truth. You can already be deceived, and people are being deceived worldwide, and it's already there. It's already happening. There's already deception around this world today. He says many will say they are Christ. Well, I recently, and I think I just said this to you guys recently also, but there's a Cuban American in Florida that's proclaiming that he is Christ. His followers, which are many, are putting tattoos on their bodies of 666 and different things, and they're declaring that he is Jesus incarnate. He's on earth today. He is the Messiah, and they're following him. That's just probably a small sample of what's going on worldwide. That's just something we've heard about recently that's been, and I've read about it. I've watched it on the videos. I've seen a little bit about it. And so it's already here. People coming and proclaiming that they are Christ. Jeremiah 14:14 says this, however, "And the Lord said to me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I have not sent them. I have not commanded them. I have not spoken to them. They prophesy to you false vision, a divination, a worthless thing, and deceit in their heart." He says, I didn't call them. I didn't place the word in their mouth. They're lying to you. And there's people today already in pulpits around America that are proclaiming and professing false doctrines and false Jesus. I'll probably get into this a little later, a little more, but I'm reluctant to call names, but several major ministers around the world, and one of them from a place far away from here. They questioned him in New York City just this past week or so about homosexuality and about same-sex marriage. And he would not say, no, I don't believe in it. He had a three-part answer and went around in circles and would not come to a conclusive answer. He's got churches. They say he probably reaches 70,000 people a week, but he's saying he won't be, and he's a Pentecost, he's an Assembly of God minister who will not say it's sin. False prophets, deception around, and this guy has a great following. I'm not against him per se, but I'm against him not saying this is what the Word of God says. So this is what I have to believe. Come on now. Well, the Word of God doesn't say that same-sex marriage is sin, Pastor. It doesn't, but it says homosexuality is, and it ranks it right there with fornication and adultery and lying and cheating and stealing and all those things, and it all goes on to call it an abomination. There's deception in the world. So, well, you're going to preach on that stuff again today, are you? No, I'm not. I'm telling you, already there are people in the world who have great influence who are deceiving thousands upon thousands every day, every Sunday. They're deceiving people and leading them astray, giving them false hope that's not based on the Word of God. You have hope today. That hope is in Jesus Christ. That's your hope. That's your absolute hope, is Jesus. But you have to follow the Word of God. You have to obey the Word of God. So there's men already out there that are deceiving people, leading them astray. So there's deception. I mean, it's everywhere. Think about the Eddie Longs and the, I could start calling names, but I shouldn't call any. But there are men who have been behind the pulpit and they're committing adultery. And one pastor in Mississippi just this week come out. He was arrested or they made charges against him that he has AIDS and he slept with many women in his church and passed that virus on to them. Deceiving people and using their position to fulfill sexual lust. It's happening every week. They're deceived and being deceived. And I'm not trying to be ugly or hateful. I want you to understand this is one of the signs that the tribulation is near. In other words, it's a sign that Jesus is about to return for the church, and the tribulation is going to be, in the wrath of God, is going to be unleashed upon this world. It's about to happen. It's close. It's nigh. even at the door. But yet we are complacent, almost apostate, give me the word right, just to that place, we just almost don't care. We're apathetic. We just don't care. As long as I'm okay, my family's okay, I have a good job, I have a good home, I'm making it, it's okay. God's good. There's more to it than that, ladies and gentlemen. There's more to it than that. I'm challenging you today. There's more to it than that. Number two is dissension. Dissension. Dissension means to differ in opinion, to disagree, to hold views differing from those of the established church, open disagreement, quarreling, or in discord. There's dissension already. We see it every day in our newspapers. Dissension, not just spiritual dissension, but dissension around our world. We see it in people coming against the law and the law going against people. We see our laws are breaking down, and our law enforcement officers are breaking down, and they're doing things wrong, and then it brings causes people to become angry and be in discord with them, and things like the Ferguson incident comes to light, and the incident down in Florida recently, and different things that's happened, and people are dissension. They're upset, and they're fighting against the norm, and fighting against religious protocol, and fighting against religious morals, and even in the church we see that people are in open disagreement and are quarreling and are in discord within the church. It's all around us. So that's something that would precede the coming of the tribulation and the coming of the Lord to receive the church out of here before the tribulation. You see, we have a very, very variety of opinions about same-sex marriage, homosexuality, and array of moral values in our church, in our churches today. We have all these different array of opinions about all this. When the Word of God states it explicitly, what God says concerning it, and that should be our moral compass. Not what I think about it, not what do I do, but what does God's Word say, and how do I line up to God's Word, and do I perform God's Word? Do I do it God's way, or do I do it my way? Do I throw out what God's Word says concerning this because I enjoy it, or I've partook of it, or I have a family member that does it, or I have a friend that does it, and I know they're good people, but yet they don't line up to that portion of God's Word, so I just throw that out because I don't want to offend them. So then we get in discord because now we're hateful and judgmental, unloving, uncaring, when really we're not. We're trying our best to live our life in a way that pleases God and lines up to His moral standards. And as a church, we should do that. Do we fall sometimes? Absolutely. Sure we do. Do we disappoint God? I know I do. That's why I'm always on my knees saying, God, forgive me. And I try to walk humble before Him. And God, I need Your mercy today. I probably disappointed You. I have said that to Him before. I said, oh, God, I probably disappointed You today. And sort of like the Holy Spirit says, what do you mean probably? You know you did, because I know what you're thinking. I know what you did. And you know what you did. And you know what you're repenting of. Just admit it. Quit saying, I probably disappointed You, Lord. Just admit it. You did. We all do. It might have been a fit of anger. Whatever it might be, the case may be, we do this sometime. So there's dissension around, and folks, you need to understand, we are in a spiritual warfare. It's a spiritual battle that's going on constantly. There's no time for you to relax in this battle. You may have some times that you can step away briefly, but you can never get away from it totally. Even if you're on vacation, you're not at church. You're not at church most of the time, by the way. When you're out there on your jobs, or when you step away for a vacation, or you go for some recreation, you're still fighting a spiritual battle because you're still light in a dark world. You're still salt. So there's always a battle, and the devil's always wanting to tear you down, always wanting to cause you to sin. So there's a warfare, and the battle is heating up. It is heating up. It's getting hotter and harder every day. We see there's wars and rumors of wars all around our planet. Dissension everywhere you look. You can't get on to, can't read the newspaper without reading about missiles being shot at Israel. You can't read the newspaper or watch the news without hearing about ISIS attacking this city here, about Syria, about the Palestinian. It doesn't matter. China getting ready to disperse the protesters. And you know, if they get fed up with enough, they'll just shoot them. You know that. Some of those kids don't remember that. Was it Tiananmen Square several years back where they just come in there and started mowing them down? Okay, you want to dissent? You don't want to agree with us? That's fine. We'll take care of that. Boom, 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 boom. That dispersed the crowd real fast, didn't it? There's dissension around the world. So we got to understand that. There's war around at various places around our globe today. We don't hear about so much in the Philippines, but they're still fighting down there. There's still guerrillas groups in the jungles of the Philippines that still hates Christians. It could raise up a jihad against Christians, could happen any moment. It's around the world, everywhere you think. You just got to think and look about it. There's violent groups killing and maiming all around our world in the name of their god or gods. False prophets and wars and rumors of wars will increase and will characterize the whole present age, and it'll escalate towards the end. But Jesus said in verse 6, the end is not yet. Now we're talking to you, a pre-tribulation group of people, who sees these things in Matthew 24 and can understand that these things are already escalating, that the end must be near, but once the church is gone, then these things will really blow up. Things will really get bad. And it will really be ugly. And folks, you don't want to be left here for that. 2 Timothy 3:15 in the English Standard Version says this. Says, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Did I read the wrong scripture? It's going to happen. It is happening. It's going to get worse and worse. Evil men and imposters. It's all around us now. It will not stop. It'll never cease. It's not going to get better. You've got to get better in the midst of it. You have to get stronger in the middle of it. You have to understand that your faith is not in man. Your faith is in the Lord. Your hope is not in this world. Your hope is out of this world. You've got to understand, church, that it's going to get more and more difficult to live for Jesus, even up to the coming of the Lord for us in the clouds of glory. You've got to be prepared for whatever faces us in the near future and the distant future, knowing, however, that Jesus is coming soon to deliver us up, to take us to heaven, to be in His presence for 7 years, to prepare us to come back and rule and reign for Him. We have something to look forward to. I don't want you to get down and out and disturbed and discouraged today. It's just, we are privileged people. We are living in the very end times. That's an exciting time to live. But it's a time to be busy about His work, not continuing to live on like we've always lived, expecting, come on, church, it's time for us to do something besides what we're doing. Time to step up and step out for Jesus. Then there's devastation. Number three, devastation, which is famines. We see famines around the world today. Even in our nation, we've experienced, in our area of the world, we've experienced great droughts recently. Lots of crop damages. Lots of difficulty to producing crops, getting enough water for our cattle. grain for to feed the people as well as the animals. We've seen drought, we've seen droughts, and we've seen famines all around the world now. We see nations that should be getting food shipped from nations who do produce abundance of food. There's still famine in Africa, in different nations in Africa, because of the bureaucrats and because of the wickedness of men. People are dying from starvation around the world. Although there is an abundance of food still, one day there will not be. But we are seeing famines around our world. Come on now, you know it's true. You look at us, we're not starving. We're not doing without, but there are people who are. And do you realize that if we'd have a disruption in our transportation system, that you and I, our grocery shelves could be empty within just a few days? You go to a store and try to buy a loaf of bread when you hear there's a snowstorm coming. Within just a few hours or less, the grocery store shelves of necessities, milk and bread, are empty. We panic. We don't know what to do if we don't have that grocery store to run down to and pick up a loaf of bread or a gallon of milk. But it could happen at any time. We may face that before we go to heaven. I don't know. I hope not. I trust not. But I don't know. I can't say with certainty that we won't. We'd be ill-equipped to survive it, folks. Because we're too used to luxuries. Then there's disease or pestilence. Number four. Disease and pestilence. Wow. How many of you have heard of the Ebola crisis? That's on everybody's mind right now, isn't it? We are almost in a mode of panic around our nation over three cases of Ebola in the United States of America. Now, it could grow, I know. That Western Africa countries, it's spreading. Was it over 4,000 people's already died in West Africa? They don't know who all's been infected. Don't know who all may get it before it's over with. We're already in that. We see famines, and then we see pestilence and disease around our globe. Let me give you some good news today. Psalms 91. Go over there with me, would you? I'm going to give you, as a church, some good news. Psalms 91, and I can't find it. It's in this Bible somewhere. Wouldn't be a very good preacher if I can't find Psalms, would I? I got it. Psalms 91, verse 3. The whole chapter speaks to us, and it's very good, but verse 3, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence, the perilous pestilence, the dreaded diseases, the plague, the epidemics. Surely he shall deliver you from the dreaded diseases, the plagues, and the epidemics. Now, you say, what in the world are you talking about? I'm telling you, he gives his angels charge over you. I'm telling you, he will deliver you from the perilous, dreaded diseases, plagues, and epidemics because you are under the protection and dwelling in the secret place of the Most High God and abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. He is your refuge and your fortress, your God. In him you trust, and he will deliver you. Now, when this was written, Psalms, they were writing, you go to some other passages of Scripture, and they're talking about where God's about to pour out some wrath, and there's a disease and a pestilence about to hit the land, and God promises his faithful that I will deliver you and protect you from these dreaded diseases, pestilences, plagues, and epidemics. If you are my faithful people, I'm going to protect you, but I'm bringing that upon the folks who are going against me. And when you get into the tribulation period, the church is absent. The people who are doing their best to live for him may not experience some of this, but the folks who have gone against God constantly will come under plagues, pestilences, epidemics. They will be suffering beyond compare. He says he'll protect you. Church, that's good news. Pastor, I've got some disease. Well, I think you need to begin to abide in the shadow of the Almighty. When I pray, almost every time I pray, not every time, but fairly often, I pray Psalms 91, portions of Psalms 91. I pray that, and I'm Psalms 91:3. He shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. I pray that. I go on, and it says, verse 6 says this, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. And then you go to verse 9 and verse 10, and it says, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall be no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. I pray that, Lord, I thank you that no plague may come nigh my dwelling. I thank you no pestilence is going to come near me. I thank you I'm not going to have cancer or heart disease or diabetes. I thank you, Lord, I'm going to live a healthy, natural life. I've got high blood pressure. I even thank you, Lord, I'm not going to have a hypertension any longer. And he says, well, when you quit pastoring, maybe your blood pressure will go down. He didn't say that. I made that up. I pray that. I believe that. I stand on that. I don't expect to get these diseases. I don't expect to get Ebola or any other transferable disease. I just believe I'm under the shadow of the Almighty. He's going to protect me. And if I do get one of the diseases, it's by His design and because He's going to use that to take me to glory. But we're seeing these things increase constantly, always something we're afraid of. Afraid. I mean, the news is full of the Ebola crisis every night, the evening news and our local news. And are we prepared? And what's going to happen? And who's going to get it? And how's it transferred? We think it's transferred a different way now. We don't know how it's, they're just panicking. And I'm not saying you shouldn't be cautious. I mean, if I know Brother Terry's got Ebola, I'm not going to hug him. I'm not going to get near enough that he can sneeze on me. Come on now, I'm going to use caution. But I'm going to trust God. Then there'll be disasters. The Bible says in verse 7, there'll be earthquakes in different places. Earthquakes in different places. It says diverse places in the King James, but that means different places. There'll be earthquakes. 25 years ago, I think it was the last week or this week, 25 years ago, just within the last week or so, San Francisco, California was hit by a devastating earthquake right during the beginning of the World Series. It rocked that area and killed, I think, 40-something people. We watched film clips of it. I know you did too, where interstates just collapsed upon one another and crushed people in their cars. That city is still sitting on that major fault line that the seismologists say. Did you catch that, Christina? I said it. I'm so stinking. Can I just sit here and gloat for a minute? The seismologist said that it could happen again at any moment. The city sits right on the fault line. They can take you into different portions of the city, and you can see where the fault line is because the concrete and the asphalt and the sidewalks are cracked right where that, and there's buildings sitting right on that fault line. They say it's not a matter of if, but it's a matter of when they have another major earthquake, worse and more devastating than that one, and it could happen at any moment. That's in our nation. Then we have an increase in seismic activity in Oklahoma the last 4 or 5 years. We know that they say it may be because of oil well fracking. We understand that that may be a cause of it, but I understand this. The Word of God says that preceding the coming of Jesus, that there would be an increase of earthquakes in many places. So I believe that this is just a way that God is telling Okies, get ready, I'm coming. It's getting our attention, because when I was laying in bed that Saturday night and I heard that rumbling coming, all of a sudden things started shaking. I thought, my, what in the world is this? And I know some of you did too, but it's like, wow, I've never been in an earthquake before. I don't like them. But you understand, it's a sign that Jesus is coming at any time. We've had this significant increase here. We know it's a sign of the end of times. And then around our globe, I know this has not been very, but I just want to get you some points here. We know that the tribulation is near. And if the tribulation is near, then the coming of the Lord for the saints of God is nearer. Any time now. Any day now. Any hour now. Any minute now. We could be gone, caught up to be with Him forever. Wow. It's coming. Around the globe, you hear of earthquakes all the time. Just South America recently, I believe there was one. There's tsunamis. There's all kinds of disasters happening. There's, here Indonesia, just what, 3-4 years ago, where that huge tsunami came in because of seismic activity or a typhoon, one of the two, out in the ocean. It's happening all around the globe. Signs that the tribulation is near, that earth is preparing for the coming of the Lord and preparing for the great wrath of God to be poured out upon it. Church, you don't want to be a part of that. I'm encouraging you to make your life right with God. Verse 8 says this, "And all these are the beginning of sorrows." All these are the beginning of sorrows. In other words, this is the easy stuff. This is the easy stuff. The trumpets haven't been sounded. The bowls opened. The seals broken yet. Wait till all that happens. Wait till the four horsemen come across the earth. Wait till all the moon turns to blood and the water is undrinkable. And wait till all that happens. You just think that was bad. You don't want to be left behind. You do not want to be left behind. And this are strictly signs, simply signs, that Jesus is coming soon. Tribulation is near. Are you ready? Are you ready? Well, would you stand with me? You can be ready today. That's to put your faith in Christ, to begin to serve Him with all your heart. You see, there's more than just accepting Christ as Savior. If you accept Him as Savior, you must accept Him as Lord. And if you accept Him as Lord and Savior, then you are busy about His business. You serve Him. You lay up treasure in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt and men do not break in to steal. Yeah. Jesus is coming. Have you laid up enough treasure in heaven, stored enough up there to make a down payment on your heavenly home? Something to think about, isn't it? I know we all fall short. We all fall short at times. There's no doubt about that, and that's not faulting you at all today. It's just letting you know that we're all kind of in the same boat, but we all need to do better. We all need to be better prepared for the coming of the Lord. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed.